What's going on, gang? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Lev First Show. This is our first episode back on fucking regularly scheduled programming. You can listen to this episode everywhere, iTunes, fucking YouTube. Make sure you go to YouTube, hit that subscribe button. We're putting out like 3-4 videos every fucking week. It's good to be back. We're going to really grow this show this year. I'm excited. If you enjoy this episode, please take a second, share it to your Instagram story. Just help us beat the algorithm. Fucking drop a like, drop a comment, do anything. It all benefits me and it all hurts China. I hope so. I would love if I just became a real anti-China podcaster.
Sorry, my wife has to interrupt me. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, you're good.
I'm going to do the onions and then put the meat in with the onions.
Yeah. Yeah. And then some garlic. You saute the garlic for like a minute. Sorry. It's making chili. No, can I get a water though? Yeah.
I wanted to dive into marriage with you. That's like the perfect fucking intro to it.
Yeah. She can't really cook, but she's learning. And I'm trying to like coach her through it because you don't want to be, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can cook, but yeah.
But you take cooking seriously, right?
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I don't take it as seriously as like Nick Whitmer does. But yeah. I do like, you know, I made a lasagna over Christmas and
whoa.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's fun. Fun.
That's thing. The biggest like dad humble brag ever. It's like, yeah, a little lasagna over Christmas, you know, it was nothing.
Yeah.
That's fucking great, man. Yeah. I wanted to say really quick to the viewers, Mike Racine is our guest today. Hilarious comedian. When I said in our Discord that you're on, people immediately were fucking excited to have you on.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike is going to be in Minneapolis on the 14th and 15th, the week you're listening to this, at Sisyphus thanks. Brewing.
Yeah.
So if you are in Minneapolis, fucking go see this show. And if you're in New York City this week, come to Levfer and Friends on the 13th. We have a great fucking lineup. Sean Gardini, all these other, I don't even remember who's on it, but it's a fucking great show. So get tickets. But yeah, dude, did you get married during the pandemic?
I did, yeah. Nice little pandemic wedding. 20 people, no family, no. Yeah,
dude, do you think that's the way to do it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we didn't have all the traditional like you know, like a super expensive wedding. We had 20 people there. We rented a little townhouse in Bushwick.
Oh, you did it here in Brooklyn.
I did it here in Brooklyn. Yeah, a friend of mine brought me a Blue Chew. just for good luck.
Yeah,
and 20 people, like just close family and friends. And because we got a bill from our caterers that was for like $15,000 for like a 140 person wedding. So yeah, it's a lot. So I think we kind of like, it was good. We got very lucky. Some people during the pandemic, they got very lucky. We got a new apartment. We found a nice deal on an apartment. We like really upgraded our lives.
Yeah.
And it just took a million people to die.
But with the new, but there, are they not like jacking the prices back up? Because I got a COVID deal on my place and now it's right back to fucking insanity.
Well, they give you the 3 months of free rent so they don't have to, so that they can raise it.
Right.
Right. Cause like they can only raise it a certain percentage every year. So instead of being like, oh, the apartment's 2000, they go, oh, the apartment's 2500 with 2 months of free rent. So then the next year they can bring it up to like 2750 or whatever, you know.
Yeah, dude, my place during the pandemic was 1500, and now after this year it's back to 2K, which is enough to make me have to do this podcast twice a week again.
Yeah.
Like that's the reason we're recording right now.
Yeah.
Is cuz my landlords can't fucking chill out.
But your apartment should be $1500. I mean, that's like what it should cost, you know?
That is what it should cost.
Yeah.
Cuz when I go to pay the bill, it literally says on the website, it says like market price of your apartment and it's like $1,480. And then it says landlord dues and then it's like another $500. So they literally, I think they're legally required to tell you what the actual value is of the place, but only once you're fucking signed to the lease and paying it.
Yeah.
Like, so every month I see them upcharging me fucking a third, right? Is that how much that is?
Yeah, I think so. Or a quarter.
Right, whatever.
500. Yeah, but who gives a shit? Yeah. Yeah, so, guys, we're not math nerds over here. Just to let you know,
an Italian and a Jew who's broke. Like this is not a good duo. But fucking, How was it tricky to talk your wife into doing a cheaper wedding? Because every comic I know who's getting married or like planning it is like, they're just like terrified how much money they're about to fucking lose.
Yeah, well, I mean, it got canceled, so that it was like we had to. It's just what we had to do. So I found like a little townhouse on Airbnb in Bushwick where we lived at the time, and
yeah,
it was kind of great. We had the wedding there. We stayed overnight, and then we just went back to our place the day after. We got we got all our money, and then the people who can't make it, they send money. So we had a nice little. Yeah. I hope
it's like a full-on scheme. You should do this fucking once a month.
Yeah. I hope there's another pandemic for my next wedding.
Yeah. That's fucking hilarious. Are you doing a podcast now?
I am. Yeah, I'm still doing the sit down. I've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years. I think I'm gonna end it soon and do another one because it's just you know when your heart's not in something. I mean, but the thing is, I do have the Patreon, so that makes me about that's a nice. Yeah. I get a little money from that. So if I didn't have the Patreon, I would have quit a long time ago.
Yeah.
But that little amount of money every month coming in is nice.
See, that's it's so funny because like now I feel like I can't plug the pod. I'm like, you got a pod I can plug? And you're like, I'm about to kill it.
Well, I do. The Sit Down with Mike Racine is my podcast. I do weekly episodes.
Yeah.
And it's just me sitting down with usually my wife or my brother. They're my kind of like my go-to guests.
You don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I just call them last minute. Actually, I got to book the show today because I tape it every Tuesday. So you don't want to. You got to book at least 2 days in advance.
Yeah.
Yes. You know.
Yeah. Fucking. What's it called? What's it like potting? I mean, with the wife, I guess there's an establishment of trust. But every week I debate whether or not to bring my girlfriend on the show. But I always think there's a chance, like, I hate people knowing about who I'm dating because, like, there's so many fucking psychos out there on the internet. Like, I have friends who, like, just somebody will make a fake account and message their girlfriend and be like, I had sex with your boyfriend today. And just to ruin someone's life. It's fucking insane.
And
not to mention all the cheating.
Right. I know. So. And it's like funny for them to do that. That's their You think like, oh, someday I'm going to be a comedian and people will respect me. But you're literally just somebody's like punching bag for their, you know?
Yeah, dude. We know a guy who's like genuinely going through a mental health crisis right now on a comic.
Yeah.
And all the fans, like, and I won't say all the fans, but a couple of people are responding to this person's tweets, like validating his like disconnected from reality thoughts. It's like, what an insane thing to do. Like, you think that's funny? Like, you might fucking help ruin somebody's life forever.
Yeah.
Where it's not a... The audience required for what we do are not the types that are going to fucking have your back forever, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, because they want to be funny, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, most people who listen to your show are, like, nice, and they're, like, respectful, and, like... But every once in a while, they'll just... You'll get a comment that's, like... And they know how to hurt you because they know your life so well because I've been doing a podcast for like 5 years. So people who know me know all of my, they know all my like insecurities and everything. And it's like, I don't know. I don't like that they're able to do that. I've been giving them like intel, and then every once in a while.
What's an example?
They know her.
Let's test my audience. What's an example of something that your audience knows will hurt you? I want to see if my people.
Best example, the best example is a few months ago. I got a comment and somebody said, "Yeah, Mike has just watched all his friends succeed beyond their wildest dreams, and he slowly realized it's never going to happen for him." And it's like that person like First of all, thanks for being a fan, I guess, because you wouldn't know that. If you weren't,
dude, the thing about comments like that too is like they're not trying to be funny. They're also disappointed. They're like relating. They've settled in with you because I think it starts with them being a fan of like Mike's gonna be big, and then like they're 3 years later. Yeah. They're like, he doesn't care about this pod. And they're like, we've settled in together. This is.
Right,
the thing.
But also, I'm doing fine, and I'm happy, and I,
Also, so, you're a very funny. You're respected by everybody. Like you have made me fucking cry.
There's got to be a few people who don't like me, though.
I mean, who doesn't have a fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
Who doesn't have a few people? Can you think of... When you think of that, do you think of, like, directly people who you're like, oh, this person has an issue with me?
There's a few LA comics who just kind of automatically have me blocked, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think probably, yeah.
But why do you think that is? Do you think it's because of social media?
I think they're scared of me.
Why? Italian?
No, yeah, that. but I think they're also like, I don't know, maybe they're worried that, I don't know.
I had somebody recently, because I told somebody about a tweet you told me about at a comedy club. And I was like, yeah, Mike is so fucking funny. And the person was like, I just can't tell if he's serious on Twitter or not. Like, because but I feel like you post a lot of fucking like very satirical, hilarious shit on Twitter all the time. And yeah. I think some comics, women, don't fucking know, like, if you're fucking around, like, about, like, political shit and all that.
Yeah. Well, comedy should be segregated by genders, I think. There should be male comedy clubs and female comedy clubs. And, like, you can bring your boyfriend or your girlfriend to a, you know, one of the clubs. But you just have to understand that you're either getting a male show or a female show.
Which show do you think sells more tickets?
I think probably the female shows, right?
They have better marketing.
I think if you can be a comic, like, if you can be a male comic who, that's why I try to, I try not to go too hard on the misogyny these days. I want to be like the comic who people can, like, bring their wife to, you know?
Yeah. So you can,
they don't
fuck
have
their
to
wives.
Love me. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The wife or girl, like, they don't have to love me, but I just want to at least, like, have them entertained, you know?
Right, right. Who do you think, I feel like Louis had that. I feel like he has much less of that now. But Louis was like, you brought your wife, and she was like, we're seeing, fuck. Yeah, like, she was all in.
Yeah, Louis was almost, like, equally liked for a little bit. Yeah.
But I also think, I was thinking about this last night. Like, I am such a fucking fan of that guy. I think he's, like, you know, one of the greatest of all time, easily.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that made him accessible to women was he was very openly, like, you know, leaning a certain way politically and, like, going, like, hyper liberal and, like, writing. He was writing, like, essays for the New York Post about, like, Trump and all this shit.
Yeah. Right.
I do believe that, like, most of the time,
too big. Yeah.
I don't know that it's too big. Awesome. I just think a comedian shouldn't tell you who he's voting for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I honestly I think a comedian most of the time shouldn't vote, because it's like, just for the sense of, like, we kind of have to stay. On, like, you know what I mean? We have to be
apolitical,
not like necessarily apolitical, but we should hate both, like, everyone. We should hate the whole spectrum and want to shit on the whole spectrum. But, like, the last few years was so fucking crazy. Whereas, like, if you shit on, like, you know, like, Democrats or anything, you were immediately labeled by fucking young people as, like, you're the enemy. Like, you are, the amount of times I've been shadow banned for, like, making a fucking Trump joke or something is insane.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, of course. No, it makes a lot of sense. And I think about that a lot, because I feel like the past 4 years I got, like, really into politics, and I was pretty vocal about, you know, what I thought and who I supported and everything. And then but I do feel like an audience shouldn't really know where you stand politically, because you shouldn't, as a comic, you shouldn't be predictable. So you should still kind of surprise people with your perspective here and there, and you should still have takes that they didn't, like, expect you to have. Like, you don't want to be able to guess what people are going to say about every little thing, and you don't want to be and then I don't know, I do kind of feel like I mean, I definitely go back and forth, but I do feel like the best comedy is kind of like apolitical.
Yeah,
you know, like, stuff like some of my favorite stuff, like, yeah, like Louis stand up or The Simpsons or whatever. Those writers, I'm sure they all had their political convictions, but it didn't feel like they were ever, like, really vocal about it. I feel like maybe that's not really our job, you know?
Yeah, I think it's just really, I honestly think not, I mean, I think it's gross when anybody, like, decides to make a speech about what you should do and who you should vote for, especially, like, actors and shit.
Yeah.
But I think for, like, comedians especially, it's just, it sucks, because it's like, A, this comic is now taking away fucking tools out of their toolkit. They're taking away weapons out of the kit. Like you said, they can't surprise you on stage with a thing. Like, when I go watch Chappelle, and, like, one weekend I got very lucky and I got to, like, watch him, like, work the whole weekend and just watch him develop jokes all weekend. He was saying shit that, like, he would play both sides and, like, say something hardcore, like, almost like fucking, you know, like he would say some fucked up shit. And then the next bit was like loving. And it's like, you need to have those fucking ebbs and flows, I think, if you want to be like amazing at this shit.
For sure. Yeah, you gotta be unpredictable.
Yeah. Fucking, I mean, that sounds more like we're going to fucking blow up a fucking skyscraper or something. We're unpredictable.
We're like a James Bond villain. Yeah, the James Bond villain's like some comedian.
Yeah.
Some fucking micer.
Were you like... Yeah, like, dude, do you ever look back at the last, like, few years and, like, I look back with such embarrassment of, like, decisions I made, like, just even pandering to people and, like, giving in to, like, ideas and, like, I, you know, like, just certain, so many things about the pandemic, I just look back and I'm like, what a fucking insanely embarrassing time for all of us.
You're talking about the pandemic or Trump or what?
But yeah, like that whole 4 year period of just fucking insane.
I feel like we really went through something in that period. Like things really, there was like a power, like a balance of power shift, and you saw some of the most unfunny people in the world become successful and like have careers, and then you saw people worry about like, oh no, was there something that I said? Because it just the jokes felt so much more real. Like it really felt like, I guess people felt like jokes were the gateway to fascism. Cause like Trump came out and he was funny and then he got elected president when nobody thought that he would. So it was like, I don't know. It was just a tough time. There's a TikTok guy that I follow. He's got like 4 million TikTok followers. And like, he just does like corny videos where
you follow
reacts.
A guy on TikTok.
I follow. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I forgot to tell you. That's how I realized he's gay. I just followed him because he's got a lot of followers. This guy, Ray William. And he's like this, I don't even know what he is. He just reacts to different TikTok videos.
He was like a huge YouTuber, right? Like
was he probably? That's what he seems like, yeah. But he's like, but the other day he was just like, here's a sketch that would get me canceled, that's probably going to get me canceled. And like, the sketch ends with him like putting blackface on. He's like painting his face black.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're just casually sharing that you did that. But now, because you're doing it now, because it's like the liberals are back in charge. But you would have never done 3 years ago, you would have never done that or shared that you did that.
Yeah. That's fucking canceled. Crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like at any point, I mean, unless you're running Canada, that'll get you into fucking a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. If you're running Canada, you get reelected. They all secretly love it.
Yeah, fucking wait. So he posted a video of him in blackface, and then went like, "This would have worked in a different time, like, or this would have got me in trouble. Like, when is that not gonna get you in trouble? But I think these kind of people, they're playing like 3D chess, and they know how we're gonna react to this new video, and I think they play a game of like, okay, can I recover from this? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and people, it'll be enough that people chill out and I'll just get those 80 million views.
Yeah.
Cause like people would love to see each other fuck up. Like they love to see somebody make a fucking big error like that.
Right. Right.
Like the Paul brothers, fucking Jake Paul and Logan Paul. Like you remember they went to that Japanese forest.
That was funny. Yeah. Where people commit suicide and they started filming it.
Yeah. They're like vlogging in the suicide forest. They're like, this is fucking. You know, we can't really get a lot of info out of him, but check this guy out. And people, like, they fully canceled. I remember when I was like, a young dude watching that. I was like, these guys are fucking retarded. I was like, this is the end of their careers. And now they're, like, the biggest thing in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear this fucking... Leo, shut the fuck up.
Who's that?
I have this fucking... Cat? Yeah, he's fucking out of his mind. But, yeah, I think there's almost, like, this game of, like... You know, that thing of like, there's no such thing as bad press. Mm-hmm. There is if you're like Weinstein or something.
Yeah.
But like, it seems like most times you can kind of throttle the storm. Like D'Elia's back. He's fucking, he's taking neck tattoo videos for TikTok right now. Building. Mm-hmm. It's funny how D'Elia's new content is all targeting the audience he was accused of grooming.
Right. Like, yeah, you think he'd go a little older.
But like that's just him, I guess. Like all of his content is like if you're Justin Bieber's favorite comedian, like the shit that comes in your mouth is just gonna be like, I got fucking new glasses today, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking when you say like I'm curious when you say like it felt like we really went through something. What kind of like comes to mind?
you know, there's people who vote for Trump just because their taxes are lower.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm going to vote for Biden again just because comedy's better. Just because comedy's better when it feels like the adults are in charge and it's not, even though it's not really like that different. I just feel like comedy is more, it's more of like, with Trump, it was like people felt like this guy who's funny and bad is in charge. And we got here because people were making jokes and people were like making fun of race and gender and stuff like that. So now we have to just do this overcorrection. We can't do that at all. And we have to, like, you know, we have to, all the late night shows have to be about how bad Trump is and how good we are. And then for, you know, guys like us who say fucked up shit in basements where people are drunk.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it was a little tough. It was a little, people really weren't buying what we were selling.
The audiences did feel a little different, I feel like, now that you mention it. But I feel like back then,
it just felt too real, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. I think crowds definitely have kind of felt like they've gone a little bit back to normal in the last few things. But, like, I don't know. Personally, I think that in this fucking next election, this next midterms, I think Republicans are going to fucking clean sweep across the board, honestly.
I think so, too.
It's like, I don't know that... yeah, like I think in everything, I think they're gonna be running shit for the next fucking 4 to 8 years. But I mean, like, I remember Louis said a thing a long time ago about like a pendulum. Like, that's how you know a democracy is working, because sometimes you're not gonna get what you want, and you know. And I really do think that on the road to like us becoming a smarter society, hopefully, you know, it's not looking fucking great right now, but you have to go. You know, like, it swings to shit that's insane. Like, fucking, you know, like, you go hard one way and then you go super hard the other way. Like, from Obama to Trump to Biden.
Yeah.
Those are pretty huge swings.
But it seems like it's swung consistently away from, like, the average working person.
That's true.
It keeps swinging towards, like, the wealthy and corporate interests and stuff like that. And they don't really do much, like, for us, for podcasters.
You know? for the real elite.
Fucking,
but you know, to me, Trump was like very populist, and I think right now in the country, like, populism is growing like crazy. Like, I think because of the fucking Epstein scandals, because of like every
you think
week,
he govern like a populist though.
I would have to think about that. I think he governed like Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah,
like he just kind of he was like, nah, I'm just gonna say this and fucking. I don't know. He was an entertaining guy. There's no two ways about that. I don't know.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Do you think he's going to run again?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know if he'd risk taking another loss. I think that would crush him more than anything.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's been out of the public eye for a while, that he's kind of like, people are bored.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine A wanting that job, but. What were we just fucking talking about?
Well, Republicans don't really have much to offer people. Like, he really was a gift to them, because I saw this. Did you see that tweet yesterday from, it was from like Texas GOP? And it was like, Texas GOP was like, if you can wait in line for a COVID test, you can wait in line to vote. And to me, like, that's so emblematic of traditional kind of Republican messaging, where it's like, just miserable. It's like miserable, like, fuck you. You know, like, we hate you. Life's like stuff that my grandma kind of identifies with, but most people don't. And it's like, that's why the 2016 primary was so interesting, because you had all these guys with this traditional stuff. Like, you had Jeb Bush coming out and saying, like, Americans don't want to work 50 hours a week. That's the problem. People are lazy. Like, a guy who's had a silver spoon in his mouth his whole life. And then Trump is like, no, it's the Mexicans. And just like him, like, tapping into. Him, like, tapping into people's anger and being funny was how, you know.
I think also it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because I feel like for the first time in a long time, probably, there is a huge mistrust of fucking government. And, like, I was trying to say earlier, with, like, you know, the Epstein scandals and us seeing, like, every week the CDC is like, you know what, if you got COVID, just show up. Like, hang out with your family. It's fine. We're kind of seeing how much.
Yeah, like, you can go to work.
Take a day off. Why? It's a now the CDC is like, it's a cold, pussy. Just fucking.
Right.
But because of that, like, everybody is seeing how full of shit all of these fucking people are. Like, mm-hmm. dude, my grandma is fucking 77, still sexy as all hell.
Nice.
But when they killed Epstein, she, that was like, her reaction was like, wow, they really killed him. Like, that was her own fucking thought. And it's like, if elderly people are fucking seeing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what's so bizarre is now it feels like there's this insane shift where, like, that I feel like the youth is supposed to be counterculture. The youth is supposed to be like, fuck you to the elite, fuck you to the man. And yet I feel like every fucking idiot that's around my age, you know, like a buddy of mine was just telling me a story. He went on, the last two dates he went on were with like 24-year-old chicks like around New York. And they were like, if you're not, if you don't get vaxxed by the next date, I'm not hanging out with you anymore. Like, who did you vote for? Like, that's a question people are asking on dates. And I don't think it's to even find a suitable person to be with. I think it's because they just like want to find people they agree with and just fucking yell the same opinion at each other for a fucking hour. And like, you know, but now it feels like the youth is like directly working to help push the messages of corporations. Like every 23-year-old, they're not counterculture. They're not cool. They're like saying fucking Amex slogans. Like, that's like their fucking, what the corporations are adopting and like what fucking, you know, Pfizer is telling you to do, this evil, huge company that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they're pushing all that messaging. And, like, I don't care if you get vaxxed. Like, go do whatever you feel like you should do. I don't give a fuck. But it's just bizarre to me that the youth is, like, so pro-elite and, like, you know, fucking sharing that messaging. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, of course. But I mean, I think that, like, but that's a weird thing with the vaccine. Because, like, I don't really think, I mean, I kind of feel like everybody should get vaccinated unless you like can't, but I totally understand why people wouldn't trust two big pharmaceutical companies. And I also feel like, you know, my brother like reads about COVID a lot. So he was like, you should get a booster. So like I scheduled my booster. I'm going to get a booster in 2 weeks, but then I just feel like after that, it's like, this is enough. I'm not going to get any more shots after that. And then you see like these companies have already made a ton of money, I'm sure, from the vaccine. And now you see like the CEO of Moderna being like, you know, realistically, people should probably get a shot every month.
Yeah. Like, it's like, how convenient
for the rest of their lives. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so, like the thing you're selling. That's like a fucking, it's like a mechanic telling you need a service every fucking 3 months.
Yeah.
It's like, do I?
Yeah.
You know, but this is what's
so. How do you blame people? Yeah. So like, how can you really blame people for the mistrust that they have against, you know, towards the media and the corporations that like run our government? I mean, I saw a story a couple of days ago that was like, authorities think there's the first case of flu Rona, which is the flu and COVID together.
Yeah, but I saw
like,
that.
Yeah, but it's like, that's just somebody who has the flu and Corona at the same time. It's not like a super virus that, it's not like a fucking like super band, you know? It's not like a Super Bowl halftime performance where they're together, but they're trying to like, they're also serving.
Here's what's interesting to me though. So like, you want to get the booster, right? But after that, to you, like, that's your line. Like, your personal line is like, this is the last one. And like, my whole thing with the COVID, like the vaccine is like, everybody has their own personal line. Some people are like, I'm not fucking doing that shit. Other people are like, I'll do all of them because I feel it. But that's, it's especially in a country where we're all so fucking opinionated, so trained to defend what we believe. It's like, how are you going to get everybody on board to fucking do something like that? You know what I mean? But what's curious to me is like, if you feel like this is the last one, why do this one?
Because people are telling me to do it, and there's like new variants that are happening, and I feel like this will be like, this will be the last shot that I get.
Yeah, to me, like, and I was saying from the beginning of like, this shit is, I don't understand why people thought COVID is ever gonna go anywhere. Like, this is going to be something that comes around every single year, every single season, like the flu. And the messaging they were saying, like, when this shit first dropped, like, I remember being fucking terrified in my apartment, not leaving my apartment for like 2 months. Same. And then, and fucking like thinking like, oh, I'm going to die if I get this. And now, knowing, like, how is this going to go anywhere? Like, there's no reality that exists where COVID is out of the world. I just don't understand, like.
Yeah.
And now they're finally admitting that after years. Like, once they're like, all right, we made our trillions.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I feel like the best interpretation that I've seen is people who are like, you know, we're not anti-vax. Like, people aren't anti-vaccine. The problem with these pharmaceutical companies is that they have the drugs that will help people, that will make people better, and they're either hoarding them or they're charging way too much.
It's not the
drugs that are the problem. It's big pharma and the way that they sort of go about distributing and charging for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, these insanely fucked up companies. And the other thing too is like with even new media, like YouTubers and shit, like when they're talking about, you know, COVID or the pandemic, they're all lying about what each other said. Like the other day, Ethan Klein, the H3H3 guy, was like, went on, like, started putting all these tweets out against Rogan. Did you see this?
No.
He this guy's like a huge fucking YouTuber. Like, he's millions on every fucking video. Yeah. But he was like, fuck Joe. I'm paraphrasing. I'm literally doing exactly what I'm accusing this guy of doing. But
what is H3, by the way? Because I only heard of the guy a little bit, but
I have no idea.
Like, the biggest podcast is called the H3 Podcast.
I don't know what it's like in reference to. I have no clue.
A name. Yeah.
I don't know. But he's made a fucking empire out of whatever the fuck it is. I don't know that anybody knows what it is.
And he's just like some guy.
Yeah, he's some dude and his wife. And he was saying Rogan is like, he's like, fuck Rogan. Like, he, you know, he's promoting, you know, these drugs, or he's taking all of these medications when he got COVID while going on his podcast and being like, don't be a pussy, man up. If you have COVID, just ride it out. And it's like, he never said that. I've never once heard Rogan be like, this shit isn't real. Fucking don't take. If anything, I think what Rogan's trying to do is bring on people who are experts that are being deplatformed and be like, okay, tell me what you know, and maybe this can help make, you know, new medication standard. Or no part of me like ever hears Rogan being like, this is a fucking scam. You know what I mean? But, you know, when people are trying to fucking win points over and they'll like lie publicly about what other people say, it's like fucking, it's insane to me. It's all about like, I don't even know what the purpose of that is.
Yeah,
I feel like I sound like a schizophrenic person.
No, but I guess it's just, create conflict and like sort of, I don't know.
Yeah, that might be it. Because he didn't let him on the podcast, I think. And I think that's, it might have been a big part of it. But you also had, a kid during this.
Dude,
tell me all about, you're like one of the few people I know that's actually a dad.
Yeah, it's,
you did it all during this fucking pandy, dude.
I really grew. Yeah, I grew a lot.
When you found out you guys were pregnant, is that, because like at my point in my life, if I found out my girlfriend was pregnant, that'd be a big problem.
See, you think that, but like, I remember, like, I didn't, I mean, we weren't planning on getting pregnant, but I'm also like old, you know? So it's like, what am I? It's kind of, it would
you're
be
in your 30s, aren't you?
I'm 34, but it would be like,
oh yeah,
it'd be kind of dumb to pay for an abortion at this age, you know?
You gotta be like Kanye to do it.
Yeah. Or like a senator or something. Yeah, so my I just came home one day and my wife was like, look in the sink, and there was a pregnancy test in the sink.
I thought there was gonna be a baby.
I didn't know I was pregnant. I forgot to tell you, my wife is 700 pounds. And,
wait, why did she put it in the sink?
Because she pissed on it. It was the bathroom sink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's kind of like where you would put it, right?
I guess. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. There's TikTok videos where girls put it in their boyfriend's food.
I saw that, dude.
They like put it, they make it like a popsicle.
I saw that. I would, goddamn, I would literally leave a woman in that moment. That's crazy.
You just show up in the kid's life like 20 years later. You're like, son, the reason I left.
Watch this video.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I get it.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I get it. Yeah. But
what was your reaction in the moment?
Well, I was like, I don't know. I was very happy. I didn't like freak out. Like, I saw the test and I remember being like, Oh, okay. Like
you have COVID.
Okay. Yeah.
You're positive.
Yeah. No, I just remember being like, oh, all right. And I didn't, you know, it was like exciting. And it was also kind of during, you know, the height of COVID. So like I was just kind of like, what else are we going to do? You know, at this
point
in our lives, I'm not really doing stand up and we're just kind of like biding our time here until they find a vaccine. I think we found out. So they announced the Pfizer vaccine in like December. And we found out she was pregnant in like August. So it was kind of like, yeah, you know, it was like a good time to do that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like I wasn't like nervous or anything. I was like, all right, yeah, this kid's coming and we're just going to figure it out. And it's funny because you hear other guys, like you hear guys without kids talk about having a kid and they're like, oh, I don't know what I would do if I had a kid right now. That would be, and I remember thinking that too, like being stressed out and being like, oh, I couldn't imagine if there was a baby here too. But there's something about like having this little baby that needs you, you know, and like can't function without you. And you're just kind of like, all right, well, now it's on me and I gotta make this work. It's actually, I feel like I've become less of an anxious person since having the kid. Because I'm just kind of like, because it gives you a sense of like, this is what you're supposed to do. Like at least your life has this purpose where it's like, you got to take care of this kid. You got to feed him. Don't let him die, you know, like keep him happy, let his brain develop. And it's almost like a new thing. It's like a do-over on your life, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, cause it's so much less about you. I feel like that must be such a freeing thing. Yeah. Cause like literally all my goals for this year are like lose 300 pounds, get fucking, make content every fucking day. Like it's all just me. There's nothing in my list that has anything to do with anybody
else. You're dumping your girlfriend.
She's gone, dude. As soon as I get back to being somewhat attractive, that's a wrap.
Yeah. No, that's you losing 300 pounds.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's fine.
But
was the best. I remember thinking like as lockdowns were ending, I was like, I should have had a kid in this time. That would have been the perfect.
Yeah, you should have.
Perfect fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't feel like, oh no, my life's over. And then the other thing too is like he's at a point now where he kind of fits into life pretty well. I mean, I was at Caroline's this weekend and I wanted my wife to come by and bring him because she used to work there. So I was like, oh, I should like bring him on. That'd be cool to bring him up on stage and like maybe get him a little like applause or something. Just like let him feel what it's like to be on stage.
Yeah.
So I think
imagine start booing your baby. Just feels like he's bombing.
What the fuck? I just start throwing stools in the.
The baby has like a Kramer meltdown.
I have to like shoot my way out of the club because they hate my baby so much. Yeah.
Yeah. How old is the kid?
8 months.
At 8 months, you feel like that's it? Like he's already fitting in?
Well, you know, you just kind of bring him to stuff. Like you want to keep, because I don't know what your dad was like growing up, but my dad like had no identity really. I don't think he was really like a person. He like went to work. He went to work. He came home at like 6 o'clock or later. In his suit. I never knew anything about his job or what he did or what it's like. He didn't really have hobbies or things that he liked. And he likes watching the Yankees and he likes putting on spandex and riding his Italian racing bike. He's like one of those guys.
Yeah.
But there was never much of a relationship
On spandex. What a disrespect. He's like, is that how you just, are you gonna put on your spandex today and go on your little Italian bike?
I'm at his funeral. Wow, he really loved wearing spandex. He really loved wiggling his little spandex covered ass around. And
do you think that was just like, because my dad was very much, I feel like most of my life he was at work.
Yeah.
Like he'd leave early in the morning, come back, you know, late at night. Yeah. But like we would do like basic things together. Like we, you know, he would take me fishing and shit. We'd go do stuff like that. Or like he'd pull me out of school just to go fuck around and have lunch or something like that.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. It feels like that identity thing too of like I'll never know what my dad like what goes on in his brain, like what does he think about, what does he give a shit about, like,
and it might just be nothing. He might just be like a serial killer or something.
Yeah, like maybe we're giving too much credit, like, because my dad does the same thing. He's like, I'm gonna buy a bicycle, and then they just they just do that thing. But do you ever feel yourself becoming more like that?
I don't think so. I think I try to, I think I'm going to try to hang on to, I mean, I'm definitely going to keep, you know, doing comedy and stuff, and that'll always be a part of my life. And I hope that he can kind of fit into it. And like, I don't want him to do comedy, obviously, but my wife was like, I can't survive another comedy career, so please don't. But I think he'll at least appreciate it. And like, you know, hopefully if he wants to do something in the arts or creative, I can kind of walk him through that. But yeah, I don't think you want to, you don't want to like lose your identity because you have a kid. I think guys think that's what it's supposed to be. I don't know. The money, I don't really, at this point, I don't really worry about it. I mean, we're doing fine. It's like he eats breast milk and he wears clothes that cost $5.
Right.
So I'm sure when he's wears a teenager.
He wears dad's spandex.
Yeah. He wears grandpa's spandex.
Yeah.
He just wears body suits.
Yeah,
he wears bright green body suits with the Italian flag on them.
That'd be a fucking stylish ass kid. Do you ever think about what do you think is gonna happen like with schools by the time like your kid's ready to go to school? Like, is the shit gonna be all open? Everything's got to be open and all that. And
I would guess.
Then, right?
Yeah, I fucking hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This I kind of like how, you know, everybody's working remote now and everybody's fucking I wonder how I would have grown up if school was like on a fucking laptop as opposed to going.
I heard,
like, how do you bully over Zoom?
You can't.
Yeah,
you gotta like show up at the kid's house, you gotta like write the kid a letter or something.
That's fucking, you're saying it, you heard it doesn't stick. What did you hear?
I heard that like kids don't really learn remotely. It's like tough. They don't retain anything.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be insanely motivated to be looking at a screen as a kid and being like, I'm going to get educated right now, as opposed to like watching porn or fucking doing some crazy shit.
Yeah. You know what's funny though? My Twitter is mostly like left, you know, like people who are more left, politically left. So you always hear this stuff about like, like we should work remote. We should print money. We should just, there should be more stimulus checks. Kids shouldn't have to go to school. We got to close the schools. Like, that's almost like the default setting. Yeah. But then sometimes I hear people who are like more conservative. And I'm like, no, you should go to the office. There's part of me that goes like, no, kids should be in school and you should go to the office and you should make a living and you should, you know.
I think to me, it's like whatever the fucking, like all I give a shit about is what does the data say?
Yeah.
Like to me, if they say that employees who work remote are like as productive and like even like feel better in their lives, then just fucking do it, you know, or give them the option. But I have a feeling that with schools, like, I think so much of growing up and going to school is like learning social skills and like going through nightmare scenarios. That's like what's preparing you for life, like having being on the bus and having diarrhea, like that is a fucking education in itself.
Did I remember one time when I was in 10th grade, we had these like Entenmann's donut holes in my house, and I ate like four of them for breakfast.
Yeah.
And it must have had some reaction, because I was just like, I was sitting in study hall like after lunch, and I just like couldn't stop farting. And I was just like I was just cutting like the worst farts that you've ever, where everybody around me was like, oh my, like everybody was like talking about it. And there was a kid next to me who was asleep. And then there was like me, and I just like, I was like, I can't get up and go to the bathroom. Number one, I can't poop in school. And number two, I can't, they'll know it's me if I get up and leave. So I just had to sit there. And
I'm surprised you didn't blame the sleeping kid.
I that's sort of like what I did. I was like, oh, they probably think it's him.
Yeah. But see, that's like, those are social lessons that you can't learn from fucking homeschool. Yeah. Those fear moments, those pressure moments, like that to me is the education of school. I remember four things that I actually learned. That were from class.
Did you have to do the thing where you call the girl's house and her family picks up? I don't know if that might be like ahead of your time.
So that we were actually even my brother. My brother's 32. I don't know if he was calling. I feel like everybody was starting to get shitty cell phones around then.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because I got mine like senior year of high school. So I feel like before that, kids were getting. They had their own cell phones, but there were times when like you'd call a girl's house and like, there was a chance that her like her dad would pick up.
Right.
You'd go like, "Hi, can I talk to Jennifer, please?" Like some prepubescent or maybe postpubescent kid.
Yeah, dude. By the time I was like 13, we were you would be like calling a. You know, I had no game. I was afraid of women. Like. Mm-hmm. But you would still, you know, you'd call some chick you're friend zoned with, and like as kids, and listen to her bullshit at fucking 14 years old on a cell phone, like in your room, like that was. Can you imagine what it's like for these kids now? I imagine like if they're in an online class, they're all just in a fucking Twitter, like thread separately, just fucking trashing each other and everything.
I can't say I envy.
I think every generation, it's going to be a shittier life growing up in terms of just like. Being like, you know what I mean, like overstimulated by technology and like, because when I was a kid, I lived in the fucking suburbs. We'd spend all day outside. It was like a weird mix. You either were outside building shit with your friends all day, or I was inside playing World of Warcraft. That was like my whole childhood. But like, at least I don't know if kids necessarily have that option now.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, everything's like virtual, I guess.
Yeah. But Mike, I fucking appreciate the hell out of you for coming on here, man.
Yeah,
I know,
of course.
Once again, 14th and 15th in Minneapolis, the Sit Down with Mike Racine is the podcast. Make sure you follow him. If you enjoyed the episode, take a second, screenshot it, post on your Instagram story, tag us, help us beat the algorithm. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. You can watch this full episode there. This episode is completely ad free on the Patreon as well. And Mike, do you have anything else you wanted to mention?
I guess I made a little short, a little sketch with my baby on YouTube. It's on YouTube. It's called Little Star. If you can check on that. I had fun doing that. Me and Ian Fidance and my wife and my baby did a little sketch together. Yeah.
That's on your YouTube?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So fucking YouTube, Mike Racine. Make sure you guys hit subscribe. And dude, I always love talking to you. Everything you say, I feel like comes from a place that my brain would never think of. So it's. I always love hearing from you, man. So thank you so much for coming on again, dude.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, pleasure.
Yeah, man. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
All right, you too.
All right, brother. Cheers. All right.